This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We wanted to check in with the EPA early this week. 21 of 36 beaches in Melbourne were ranked as poor water quality due to the overflow of some fecal matter. Not a pleasant discussion to have, but we thought that we should follow up with the EPA and see if any of the beaches around Melbourne are still unfit for swimming or still have poor water quality, and advise you of perhaps where to avoid today. EPA Victoria Group Manager of Applied Sciences is Dr. Anthony Boxley, joins us on the phone. Anthony, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Where should we swim today, or where should we not swim today might be the better question.
Well, actually, the good news is you can swim just about anywhere today. 32 beaches are rated good, which is the top level that we have on our rating of fair, of good, fair and poor. We're still following up Port Melbourne. We kept it poor yesterday, but I'd suspect by today it'll be cleared up to fair or good. And that was still storm event that you kind of referenced earlier that was playing through the system. And then there was something else, something extra special happened at Frankston on Friday. There was a very minor sewer spill. But because of that, we worked with South East Water and the Water Authority to just kind of local council and just kind of we're keeping sampling there. So Frankston is rated poor today, and so is Port Melbourne, but I suspect Port Melbourne will change pretty quick.
Anthony, how does this happen? How in a modern, you know, first world nation, how does fecal matter get into the beach and the seawater and actually create the risk of an outbreak of gastroenteritis?
Yeah, it's a great question because I think it's from the feedback we've had this week, it's caught a lot of people by surprise, and I almost take it for granted that the stormwater system. Everyone knows the stormwater system's connected to the sea. You know, the ocean is downhill from everything, so everything that happens on land ends up in the ocean, and so that's why I guess we do this program, because not everyone realises that, and so it comes from a few different things. It can come from leaky portaloos in, you know, on building sites or whatever. It can come from leaks in public toilets. It can come from cross connections. You know, sometimes in our DIY culture, you'll get not a real plumber, but someone who thinks they're a plumber, put the wrong pipe in the wrong bit and send the wrong stuff, the stuff that should go to sewer, into the stormwater. You know, that definitely happens. We know the water authorities are onto that a lot. You do get sewer spills. You know, we just had that minor one at Frankston in Cannanook Creek on Friday. And then when you have those very big storms, so this is the people side of stuff, when you have the very big storms, you can get overflows from the sewer system because, of course, it's built to carry a certain amount. And then, of course, there's the animals. Anyone walks through the city at night, there's possums, you know, through the gardens around the city, there's possums everywhere, and possums do what possums do after they've eaten. Birds, chooks,
bats.
Dogs,
yeah.
Bats, yeah, of course, bats, and water bats, cattle, you know, particularly, say, the rural bits of the catchments, you know, we've still got horses and cows and stuff in the rural parts. So, yeah, it's a mixture of all that, those sources that contribute to the fecal contamination.
And then, of course, the risk of gastroenteritis is quite high, particularly for those more vulnerable, children, elderly, pregnant women.
Yeah, immunosuppressed. Exactly. Mm. Yeah, so it is spot on. The reason we do the program is, you know, it's because of gastro. It's because of, you know, perhaps getting infections if you've got open wounds or something like a cut in your hand. So for you and I, it's probably fine. You know, it's unpleasant, but it's not
very,
you know, going to be. Yeah, but as you say, yeah, there are groups in the community where gastro is a bit more dramatic, and so it's important for that. And at the poor level, there is a higher probability of being exposed to those kinds of things, and therefore, or the pathogens that can produce it, and therefore getting gastro, which is why we do that.
Now, the Age has reports that there's about 15 years of beach quality data from the EPA, that shows that there's a number of beaches that have had an unbroken good record for over the past 15 years, and such as Bleagarry, Hampton, Port Arlington, Safety Beach, Sandringham, Sandridge, Sorrento, and Easter Beach in Corio. How are those ones looking at the moment? Also, why have they had such a good record for such a long time?
Oh, it's such a good question, and it just goes to show the kind of the really local nature of this stormwater issue. They are good at the moment, all those ones. They're good. And because 32 of the beaches are good today. This morning it might be upgraded a bit down by the Savo. It is because of the local nature of stormwater outlets. So some of those beaches either have very small stormwater outlets that come off that, you know, the local road, or just for that local region, or they have none at all. They're not near big creeks or waterways, you know, like Paterson River or Werribee River or the Yarra, obviously, Yeah, those are the main reasons. And the ones that tend to be at the other end of the list are the ones that are near much larger stormwater outlets that are usually a stormwater outlet that is the big one for a whole lot of areas. So it connects a lot of catchments together and then you'll get a larger outflow of water, or they're right near a big river, which is again, most of our stormwater, if it doesn't go to the sea, it goes in the river first, then into the sea.
Indeed it does. Anthony, thank you for your time this morning. I think it's safe to say that the Melbourne beaches are safe to swim on today. The risk of gastro is quite low because of the good quality of the water. We did talk earlier to the Surf Lifesaving Club at Lawn, who are running the Pier de Pub, where they've got a probably slightly larger problem of half a dozen great white sharks seen in the area. So
it's a different set of organisms.
It is indeed.
The only thing is, if I might add, just because we have had a real surge in interest, we have an SMS kind of notification. If people want to, you can check the website, which is yarraandbay.vic.gov.au, and you can sign up to the SMS service. So you don't get spam. You just get a notification if there is poor water quality somewhere, and then you can click on and have a look.
Good way to go about it. Anthony, thank you. Appreciate your time this morning.
No worries at all.
That's the EPA Victoria Group Manager of Applied Sciences, Dr. Anthony Boxall, who's advising us that it's fairly safe to swim in the river, in the ocean, Melbourne's beaches this afternoon.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.